The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you today?
Thank you.
Dr. Smith, today our topic is workers' justice and human rights, with particular reference to agricultural and other low-wage workers. And we know here in Ulster County, agriculture is a big part of our economy. And it really relies on bringing in workers from other areas to come and work on our farms. And we're very fortunate to have Juliet Nunez. Juliet has been living in the Hudson Valley ever since she started her career at Bard, and I believe she went to Bard, I think, if I remember correctly. She's a victim services case manager for the Worker Justice Center of New York in Kingston, and she's also pursuing her master's in social work at Boston University. Welcome, Juliet.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Juliet, tell us a little bit about the Worker Justice Center of New York, how and why it came into being, who it serves, and maybe just a rundown of the different program areas.
Of course. So the Worker Justice Center of New York originally started with two attorneys that saw the need of representation for low-wage workers in the Hudson Valley area. So out of the two attorneys, they started representing workers who were not being paid or who were being victims of discrimination at work. And then little by little, the organization was growing. The first thing that they added was outreach workers, which would originally go to farms and talk to workers about what their rights were, because that was one of the main issues that we had, that there were workers who were not even coming to see attorneys because they did not know about their rights, or what was right and what was wrong, what was okay for their employers to do and what wasn't. So the first case was filed in July of 2004, and ever since then we've been growing a lot more. We do cases in federal court related to wage and hour cases, and we also have representation in cases of discrimination, and currently we have an immigration attorney who is doing cases related to domestic violence and human trafficking.
And do most of the farm workers in and come to Ulster County and elsewhere, do they come under some kind of specialized permit, like work permit or visa? How does that work?
Not all of them. So there is a lot of workers that are brought here under an H-2A visa, which is only for agricultural workers. And then there are the other visa that workers can come under is an H-2B visa. H-2B visas are for non-agricultural workers. So workers who are being brought to the country, but they are not working in the agriculture field. And we also have undocumented workers. Of course, a lot of the clients that we represent might not have H-2B or H-2A visas, but that does not mean that they do not have rights. The law still protects them regardless of their document status.
And what are some of the typical abuses that might occur out there, and particularly in the agriculture world, or maybe even not in the agriculture world? I mean, what are you seeing? What are some examples of that?
So what we see a lot is cases of wage theft, which means that workers are not being paid maybe for a week of work, maybe for 2-3 hours a week of the hours that they did. And the major violation that we commonly see is overtime pay. So even if the employer is paying them some money for those extra hours of work, which goes over 40 per week, they might be paying it at the regular pay rate, not at the times and a half that it should be paid. So that's one of the most common ones. In terms of agricultural workers, we see a lot of wrongful evictions, wrongful terminations, unpaid wages, and workers' compensation, not to mention violations to the conditions of housing and safety at the farms.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that, Dr. Smith, as you know, that we regulate, right? We do inspections of
migrant labor camps, mm-hmm. Throughout the county. That is something that we do permit for our farmers so that they can house their workers in safe conditions. Mm-hmm. So certainly if there are any violations to that, that would be something we would want to know about.
Now, Juliet, I remember hearing a presentation that you did recently where you talked about the fact that workers might be, you know, brought to a farm somewhere, essentially for them in the middle of nowhere. They have no transportation. They have no way of getting personal items or food or what have you, and that the employer kind of, you know, takes it out of their wages and makes it almost impossible, kind of like the, you know, the company store and coal mines, you know, model. Is that the case in some cases, at least?
It is, unfortunately, because the farm workers are located in rural areas most of the time, very, very isolated. They're brought here. They don't speak the language. They don't have family or friends. So their only link to the outside world is their employer. So that makes them very vulnerable to be victims of human trafficking. So what we see is that employers bring them here under the promise that they will have a good job with good living conditions, with food, it's going to be paid. They promise everything to them. They even promise to pay for the process to come to this country and work here. So it really, really sounds like a great deal to someone who is struggling to feed their families back in their home country. So once the farm workers come here, or the worker, it's not only farm workers, but any other worker, the employer might just take their documents away. So the purpose for this is that they don't have any sort of identification, even if they would like to go and talk to the police or talk to someone else, they don't have an ID with them. So they might think that they're going to get arrested. They don't speak the language. So it just becomes very difficult to look for help. And then on top of that, they are emotionally and mentally brainwashed by the employer, which is horrible, but it's true that most people don't seek for help because the employer is telling them, well, I spent X amount of money to bring you here, and then I had to buy X amount of food for you, and then I'm charging you for the mattress that you're using on the floor with this other 20 people. And then on top of that, I'm charging you for the shampoo that you ask for. And so it becomes like a debt that the farm worker will never be able to pay.
And has that happened also? I mean, you mentioned in the notes here that there are non-agricultural workers. What industries would they typically be working in?
Non-agricultural workers are usually in the domestic industry. So basically, house cleaners, maids, nannies, they are very exposed. But we also have people in construction. We have people in the sort of business area, which means bars, restaurants, spas, all this sort of places where this could happen. So it's really anybody, any worker could go through this.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure in this political climate, it's even more difficult for those workers to come forward, right? Because of the intimidation that's out there, the fear, that we all, we see in the news almost on a nightly basis.
It is very unfortunate because that fear already existed. And now it has become even greater than it was before. People are not even willing to speak Spanish on the street because they are afraid of being arrested, being deported for any reason. And of course, they're afraid of their children. So yes, the fear has grown potentially under this new administration.
Mm-hmm. And do these workers typically come with their entire families, or do they just come individually with the hopes of sending money back to their home countries, or what are you seeing out there?
Well, it depends. Some of the female workers mostly that we see are coming with their children. A lot of them are escaping violence like gangs or any sort of domestic abuse that they were experiencing back home. So they'll bring their children with them. But we also have workers that come and send money back to their families so they could survive. Eventually, we can also see cases where workers will just bring their families once they are here.
Mm-hmm. So we'd like to hear more about what the Worker Justice Center does to work with folks who are subject to some of these abuses and in terms of helping them improve their lives, advocate for their rights, and so on. But first, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
The heart is a complex organ, but finding specialized cardiovascular care in Poughkeepsie and Kingston is so easy. Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospital are now home to WMC Health's Heart and Vascular Institute, the Hudson Valley's largest multi-specialty cardiovascular practice. They have state-of-the-art diagnostics and innovative imaging and testing technologies. You'll receive comprehensive cardiac and vascular care from some of the world's top cardiologists and vascular surgeons. You'll also have a seamless connection to advanced care at WMC Health's flagship hospital, Westchester Medical Center. The best cardiovascular care comes from the best people, and now the very best are right in your backyard. Visit wmchealth.org/heart to discover more about WMC Health's Heart and Vascular Institute at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital and Health Alliance Hospital. Members of the Westchester Medical Center Health Network. WMC Health. Advancing care here.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest today is Juliet Nunez, and Juliet is a victim services case manager for the Worker Justice Center of New York in Kingston. Juliet, before the break, we were talking about human trafficking, and we've had other guests on the show who, namely from our DSS department, who have discussed the Ulster County Safe Harbor Program. Can you tell us a little bit more about the issue of human trafficking, the differences in the type of abuse that could represent, and maybe some of your experience working with our Ulster County Safe Harbor Program?
Yes, we actually work very close with the Safe Harbor Program, although a lot of what we focus on has to do more with labor trafficking instead of sex trafficking. It is still human trafficking. It's just that it's focusing on that exchange of goods, or that exchange that needs to happen in a employment situation. So basically, the difference is that in sex trafficking, there has to be a lot more of coercion, and there is that transaction happens in exchange for sex. In a labor trafficking situation, we could have sexual abuse it could happen. But the main reason why, or the main relationship happening between the employer and the employee, might be based on the exchange of goods, for instance, a service. Let's talk about a domestic worker who lives in the household, cleans the house. However, she is forbidden to use the phone. She is forbidden to get out of the apartment or the house. She is not allowed to eat. She is not allowed to use any other place in the house except for her bedroom. So we see that she's basically a slave, right? So that's why we call labor trafficking a new form or a modern form of slavery.
It's like indentured servitude, mm-hmm. almost, right?
Yep.
And so specifically in terms of what worker justice does and services, so what happens with some examples, say, of what happens when you encounter a suspected case of labor trafficking or some safety or health violation? What happens next?
So in case of the labor trafficking, we first take on the information. Then we make sure that the person who is calling us is actually directly involved. We do receive information from other people, but we don't take sort of personal information, or we first do an investigation to make sure that the information is correct, because sometimes we have perpetrators who have called us trying to play the victim. So first we take on all the information. We make sure that the person is safe. So we're never going to get the whole story in one conversation. So it's always very important to take as much information as we can. However, the priority is to make sure that the person who is talking to us is safe. Then we schedule other meetings where we try to get more information. We try to get information about the employer, about wages, whether or not the person has a phone, where are they calling us from, do they know where they are? So it really depends on the person that is calling us in terms of human trafficking. When we have cases of unpaid wages or workers' compensation, then everybody goes sort of through an intake process in which we evaluate the situation. And of course, our attorneys pay special attention to the details in order to make a determination on whether or not we could help. In terms of the health and safety, we do outreach to farms. So we have outreach workers who come to these farms and document what is going on. If a person would like to make a complaint, let's say about their living conditions or to their employer, we could assist with that. It doesn't mean that they're being legally represented by an attorney, but it's just advocating. We are helping them to communicate to the employer or to communicate to some agency what is happening. For instance, in the case of unpaid wages, we can communicate with the Department of Labor, and we assist the person to fill out a form so they can make the complaint. But that's the extent of what we can do. We are not directly connecting with the DOL to follow up on a case. On rare occasions, that has happened, but it's not the purpose of our program.
You're not directly involved in litigation, then you're kind of like the assessment resource and then turning it over to the appropriate authorities. Is that, we're getting that right?
That is correct, if that has been the determination for the attorneys. Mm-hmm. So we do litigation, mm-hmm. but the cases need to meet certain criteria. Mm-hmm. So of course that comes down to many, many factors that the attorneys take into consideration. But it has to do with the years that the person has worked there. How long did they take to come to us and make a complaint? Uh-huh. Could this be something that the Department of Labor could work or could solve? mm-hmm. by contacting the employer. So depending on the gravity of the situation, the attorneys would make that determination on whether or not to bring a case to the federal court.
Now, let me ask you something. Are there some employers or farm owners or whoever the employer may be that that reach out to you and want to be educated, want to be more aware of what their responsibilities are? And conversely, do you see, without naming names, do you see particular employers who are, so to speak, repeat offenders that, you know, that that really have a lot of complaints?
Absolutely. So fortunately, we do get employers who are concerned about breaking the law without knowing it. So it could be because they received a letter from the Department of Labor saying that they received a complaint about unpaid wages or minimum wage. So they want to know more information and how to fix this problem. And they do so. And then we never hear from them again. Then we have workers who come to us repeatedly because different workers, but the complaints are against the same employer. These are the type of employers that even when they are not doing the right thing and they know so, they choose to keep practicing what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because many of them are violating certain laws that are not very strongly enforced. So they think that they can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
They do just enough not to get in trouble.
Do we know anything about that, Dr. Smith, with our food inspections and safety and other, right? We always have there's always that percentage of right individuals who would rather fight than do the right thing, you know, find a way.
Unfortunately, but you know, once we identify who they are, we absolutely work with them until the situation is resolved, because we are under the auspices of the New York State Department of Health and the New York State Sanitary Code System. Mm-hmm. So we have those laws that govern us as well as Ulster County local laws. And we are the permit issuing authority for restaurants and temporary food vendors and campsites and children's camps, et cetera. So as the permit issuing authority and the group that's responsible for making sure that health and safety laws and regulations and codes are followed, we absolutely do. And, you know, if we identify someone who is resisting that, we definitely make sure that that permit situation either is comes to an end if they're, again, you know, not obeying the laws that we expect them to obey, or we manage to educate them so that they can know how to correct the situation. But there's always, given the percentages, there can certainly be somebody out there who tries to circumvent what are considered best practices and laws.
And regulations really are there for everyone's health.
There's no question,
safety,
and,
right?
And they apply to everyone, so that there is that standard. And we expect everyone to abide by those standards.
So, Julia, we're beginning to run out of time. So, quickly, if you can, if people are more interested in this topic, want more information, know somebody that needs help, or want to get in touch with you, reach out to you, where do they go for that information?
They could give me a call at 845-331-6615, extension 1004. My name is Juliet Nunez, and I speak Spanish.
Oh, so terrific. Give that number one more time.
845-331-6615, extension 1004.
Can you give it in Spanish as well?
845-331-6615, número de extensión 1004.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Julia. Thank you for the great work you're doing, you and your colleagues are doing out there. It's really terrific. We're happy to have you, and maybe you'll come back and talk
with
us again.
Thank you very much.
That's all the time we have for today. As always, it goes too fast. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.